Welcome, Little Hawk. It's such a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you.
I want to ask you, you are of Mi'kmaq, Mohawk, and Shinnecock heritage, but
yes.
Where exactly did you grow up?
I grew up in New Jersey.
New Jersey. All right. And are there many of your people still in the Northeast?
Oh, yes, somewhere in the vicinity of 14,000.
Ah, all right. So when you were small, who were your storytellers?
My grandmother and grandfather.
And when they told the stories, was it in a group situation or was it one-on-one? And
well, sometimes it was in a group situation and sometimes it was one-on-one. If more than one child or one person was around, then the stories were told in the evening when everyone was at home. And sometimes during the day, especially when I was very young, before I went to school, I was told stories just one-on-one.
And did your grandparents kind of mark you as a storyteller? Did they see your talent, or how did that come about?
The way it came about was that my grandmother and grandfather would teach me things at a very young age, and they found that doing it with storytelling was a way that could be easily remembered by me. And they would do it in an entertaining way, and they would be relating such values as unselfishness, integrity, honesty, humility, and so much more. And in the oral tradition of teaching that way, it was very easy for me to remember those things even at a young age. I can refer it to Walt Disney and Bambi and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. That, as a child, we remember for the rest of our lives, and in each of those stories that Disney told, the underlying lesson for all of us was to help each other.
Hmm. And you talk a lot of...
Hello?
Yes.
I cannot hear you.
Oh, okay. Now can you hear me?
Yes, I can now.
Okay. In the book, you talk a lot about storytelling. As you just said, it's teaching a lesson, communicating a moral. I'm wondering, are the tales evolving over the years? Are they influenced by current events?
Well, you have your traditional stories. Of course, those more or less stay the same. Those are the ones that were handed down from the ancestors to the elders and the great-grandparents to the grandparents to the parents, and they stay basically the same. The contemporary stories will have the same messages, but they'll have to do with things of today, making it much easier for the people that are familiar with the ways of today to remember. Today we drive to places where we want to go. Many years ago, the automobile wasn't around, so we either walked, ran, took a canoe, or we rode horses. So the stories change, but the traditional stories stay the same.
Okay. Your book has a very unique way of teaching the art of storytelling. Can you talk a little bit about that, about the process of learning how to tell a story?
Well, when we speak about techniques, I all of the stories that I was taught and the way I was taught to tell stories was to be sure that there was humor in them. There were things that you did every day or things that made you feel that there was a way to keep the attention of those that you were telling the story to. Humor was one. And also what's known as props today was another way of doing it. I use shells. I use river rocks. I use a conch shell. I use my flutes. I use the drum. And all of these are incorporated into the stories that I tell.
Okay. I know that you do, you address corporate audiences, and what lessons and what teachings do you offer them, and how are they received?
Well, they're received very well, let's see, one of the stories that I tell is that the elder asked the question, how can we determine the hour of dawn when night ends and day begins? Someone answered, when from a distance you can distinguish a coyote from a wolf. Another called out, saying, when there's enough light to distinguish a pine tree from a cedar tree. The elder said no to both. It is when you look into the face of a human being and have enough light inside you to recognize him or her as brother and sister. Up until then, it is night, and darkness is still with us.
Hmm. Wow. And when you address small children, are they receptive?
Small children are very receptive. As a matter of fact, small children, as opposed to adults, they will answer quickly exactly how they feel. And they will ask questions about what they heard, when adults most times have to be encouraged to ask questions or encouraged to speak about what was said. But children are very receptive.
All right. And are you yourself training young storytellers now?
Well, the book is doing that. I don't have anyone that I'm telling stories to right now as far as an apprentice or not, but there is a group of Métis up in Maine that I belong to that my wife and I go up to every year, once or twice a year, and tell stories up there. And some of the young have sat around, and we've talked after the storytelling for me to give them information about how it's done.
Uh-huh. Could you possibly share one of the stories from your book with our listeners?
One of the stories from the book. Okay, I don't have the book right here, but here's a story. I don't know if this is in the book or not, but one day the birds decided they were going to have a contest. So they got together in a large opening in the forest, and all of the birds from all over came to this point. And the contest was which bird could fly closest to the Great Spirit, could fly the highest. All of the birds lined up one by one. They took off and they flew. They went up as high as they could, and many of them got so tired that they turned around and came back. Well, it came down to the last bird, and the last bird was the eagle. And the eagle flapped his wings, soared high into the sky, higher and higher and higher, until he was just a little dot way up in the sky. Knowing that he had outflown all the other birds, he turned to come back down to earth. As he turned to come back down to earth, a little bird that was hiding in the wing between the feathers took off and flew up higher. Well, they both got back to the clearing, and when they did, the old elder birds that were the judges said, we saw what happened up there in the sky. And the little bird said, yes, yes, the contest was who can fly the highest. I flew the highest. I am the winner of the contest. Me, I am the winner of the contest. And the elders said, let us talk about this. So the elders went into the lodge, and they stayed in there for about a few minutes and came out, and each one had agreed that the winner of the contest was the eagle. I flew the highest, said the little bird. I did. Me, I flew the highest. The elders spoke, saying, you want to take credit for the work energy that the eagle put into flying as high as he did when you were resting in the feathers of his wing? No, no, that's deceptive. That's cheating and lying. You cannot be trusted. How can we trust you? No, you did not win. The eagle was the winner. The eagle flew the highest, not you. All of the other birds that were there said, yay, yay, yay. The eagle did the work. The eagle gets the credit, not the little bird. The little bird began to walk away, saying, oh, I did fly the highest, but I only flew the highest after I took advantage of the eagle. I will not do that again. And then all of the birds that heard the little bird say this, they then cheered the little bird. Yay, yay, yay for the little bird. Off he went into the woods to think about how he behaved and how he will behave in the future.
Very riveting and wonderfully told.
Bird song.
Thank you. If our listeners would like to attend a gathering of storytellers, or to see you, are your appearances on a website somewhere?
Am I on a website?
KennethLittleHawk.com.
Okay. Would you like to? Wait. Could you?
He goes many places.
Is this Beverly?
Yes.
Beverly, do you want to...
He does a lot of work for corporate audiences, for the federal government. He goes to festivals of different types.
Wait, Beverly...
Outdoor festivals, harvest festivals. He speaks and does storytelling for Native American powwows. He's done a lot of work with schools, too, with school children, teaching respect for one another.
Beverly, can I ask you just to introduce yourself, and then sort of repeat what you said so that we can just use this?
My name is Beverly Miller. I'm Kenneth Littlehawk's wife, and also I'm his partner in storytelling. So he doesn't work without me. We work together, but he's the person who speaks.
Right.
For many years, actually it's close to 30 years, we've shared the wisdom of his ancestors, and it's mainly through storytelling and music. However, occasionally he gives a lecture. So he wears his traditional regalia wherever he goes, so that's even for corporations and, for the federal government. We just returned from the Netherlands, where we did presentations for 5 weeks. We were in the Middle East for 3 months, in Australia for 2 months. Pretty much what occurs is people hear about him, and they call and ask if he can do something. And almost every time someone has an idea, we're able to deliver. I've run out of things to say.
That's all right. Okay. Well,
Yes. All right. So, yes, we go to festivals occasionally.
Oh, wow.
We go to... First Nations gatherings that are called powwows, and in fact, we'll be going to one in Maine in a couple of weeks. We've done a lot of work with children, particularly related to issues of respect for other cultures, as well as respect for the earth. But also, it's just so many places. Yes, my husband's saying colleges. Yes, colleges. Historic associations, museums.
Okay.
Yes, and he just mentioned again corporations.
Right. All right. Let me.
It's really. There are just so many different things we've done. He just was saying almost any place that will have us.
Right. Let me ask you.
So it's always about sharing the ideas that we can make choices to live in harmony with others, and we can make choices to live in harmony with the earth.
All right. Let me ask you, are there any other questions that you would like me to ask? Because I've pretty much gone through the questions that I had. So what haven't I asked that you'd like me to?
Well, yeah, he has some great stories if you wish to hear another story.
I would. I would love to. So if he could just share another story, that'd be wonderful.
Oh, good.
My grandfather came to me one day, and grandfather said, "You know birds can talk, eh?" I said, "No, Grandfather, I didn't know birds could talk." "Oh, yes, birds talk, and we have to listen to them." I said, "Grandfather, will you show me, will you take me to see the birds talk?" "Oh, I'm going to take you. You come with me. We go outside." So we went outside, sat under a tree, and Grandfather told me to be sure and listen very closely, not only with my ears, but with my heart, to the messages that the birds will send to us when they sing. So I listened. And in a tree, right in front of us, there was a red and black bird. And it sang its song like this. Another bird that was yellow and white, and it had a song, and it sounded like this. Both birds started singing their own songs at the same time, and it sounded like this. So Grandfather said, "What did you learn from the messages that the birds were giving you?" And I said, "Grandfather, the red and black bird had a pretty song all of its own. And the yellow and white bird, it had a pretty song too, all of its own. And when they put both of their songs together, it sounded twice as pretty." Grandfather said, "What else did it tell you?" I said, "It told me, Grandfather, that you don't have to be the same kind of bird to have a pretty song. One bird can have a pretty song, and the other bird can have a pretty song. And when they put them together, it sound twice as pretty. So you don't have to be the same in order to put something pretty together that will work for the both of you and for those that listen. Grandfather said,
it's a good thing you still got Grandpa, because today people don't listen to the environment anymore. And the environment was our first teachers.
Wow. That's a wonderful story. Well, Little Hawk, thank you so much for sharing your book, Learning Little Ways, Learning Little Hawk's Way of Storytelling, is available from your website, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Findhorn Press. That's FINDORN Press.com. Also Amazon, and also they can go to our website. KennethLittleHawk.com.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was really a very special, special interview. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. My wife and I thank you for having us on your show, and we do hope that all of your listeners not only continue to listen to you, but multiply. Thank you again.
Thank you. And just to let you know, I told your publicist, Gail, that this show will be on the air the last weekend of July, and then it will be archived on my website, which is bookreportradio.com after that. Okay?
Bookreportradio.com.
Correct. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.